This morning's scripture reading is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 23. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly.
Yep. What? I'm getting this. I'm just starting. I'm not going to wind up just yet. Though that has happened, hasn't it? This morning, we want to, again, welcome you and thank you for being here today. And I wanted to start off by telling you greetings from some of your Spring Road sisters, Esther, Yvonne, and June Baden, who is Linda Shivington's mother. Got to see them on Friday, and I wish they were that way every time I got to go. Everybody was smiling. Everybody was happy. I texted the Bankuses that Esther, who not always is very smiley, but was talking and thinking about heaven, and the smile just overcame her face, and it was a beautiful conversation with her. I guess it was Thursday. And it was a beautiful conversation with her, and they send their love and their greetings, and they wish they could be here. And I believe, possibly, that Yvonne is watching today on her iPad. So everybody wave to Yvonne. I don't know where that camera is, but I guess it's back there somewhere. Not back there? Oh, don't wave to Yvonne. It's done. Sorry about that. She'll see it in her spirit. I wanted to start today with this next slide. And this morning I got a picture. You know, sometimes you see this thing on Facebook. It's Abraham Lincoln's picture, and it's quoting him saying, "Don't believe everything you see on Facebook," and it's credited to him saying it. Well, I received this morning, and it's attributed to Vincent Van Gogh. I didn't research it. I don't really care to research it, but it's a statement that goes along with what I want to add in this part of my lesson. It says, "Close friends are truly life's treasures. Sometimes they know us better than we know ourselves. With gentle honesty, they are there to guide, support us, and to share our laughter, our tears. Their presence reminds us that we are never really alone." And this past week in my neighborhood, right behind the church here, less than a block and a half from my house, a man killed his wife. This was a family that, I guess, has had some troubles and things, but to the world, it looked pretty normal, and things looked pretty, fairly okay. That doesn't happen in my neighborhood. That happens in Columbus, down by some other neighborhoods that we hear about. And then later in the week, we heard about the suicides of two famous people. And in our own lives, we have these suicides that come up and that don't get quite as much attention. And I wanted to remind us, as I saw on some of social media and in other media this week, I was reminded of a quote that I heard a long time ago, and it was presented with this picture, that you never put a period where a comma could go. When I first heard that, it was involved with a personal suicide that of a personal friend. And it was something that struck my life and helped me understand, though that's not a road I've ever even thought about going on. But as I saw some of our friends and people that you and I know this week respond to some of these other things, some of us have lived in pretty dark places. And we continue to stay there, and we don't always get out of it. But we need our friends, and we need our Christian friends to help and guide us to get us out of those. So I want us to remember that we should never, ever put a period where our comma could go. because the comma means we're moving on. There's something else coming. A period ends it, and it's done. So let's keep that in mind. The other thing that I read of along with that this week was that there were several comments about strong people. We always worry about people who are struggling and weak and you know, obviously struggling down the path. And the good word that I read along with this was that, you know, sometimes we don't encourage our leaders. Sometimes we don't encourage those who we view as strong and moving nicely down the path. Sometimes those people have struggles as well. And those people need our prayers, our encouragement. We all have sin in our lives. We all have sin in our lives. Is that true? Is that an amen? We do. And sometimes we look at some people's sins as worse than others. But sin is sin. And sin needs to be reckoned with. And we'll be talking about that a little bit later. But I want us to remember, I want us to be an encouragement to our friends and our neighbors and our family that never put a period, never end a life where a comma could be. And the comma should be so we can move on. So I encourage you to pray for your neighbors, your friends, your family, and remind them that they are loved by God and that they have a purpose in their life. This morning, as I go into our lesson that I wanted to bring before us about living a life that makes a difference, I wanted to read a small narrative about somebody we've heard about and somebody that we know a little bit of history of, probably maybe not as much today as some of us older people. But as we're trying to live a life that makes a difference, sometimes it's not about preaching, it's about actually living that life in front of others. And the narrative goes as this. Queen Victoria of England asked Helen Keller a fascinating question many years ago when they met. The queen asked how she could have accomplished so much in her life, even though she was both blind and deaf. And Miss Keller's reply may surprise you. She replied, "If it had not been for Anne Sullivan, the name of Helen Keller would have remained unknown." But Anne Sullivan, too, had her share of physical challenges. A childhood fever left her almost sightless. She spent years in a mental institution outside of Boston. She had behavioral problems displayed by violent outbursts toward anyone who came near her. The people who took care of her even concluded that she was insane. Just as Helen Keller had Anne Sullivan to make a difference in her life, Anne Sullivan had someone who believed in her, and in her case, it was an elderly nurse who took a liking to this unfortunate girl with emotional problems. She showered her with kind words, patience, and an attitude of love. It all made a difference in Anne's life. She gradually responded to the kind nurse's gifts of food and her nurturing words of love and encouragement. Anne responded and began to heal emotionally. Her bursts of anger became fewer and less violent. Then the day arrived when this violent and troubled girl was given wings of freedom to the outside world, and the kind elderly nurse had transformed a life. Anne Sullivan blossomed into a young woman with a burning desire to serve others, and it transformed Anne Sullivan, who turned on the light for her student, Helen Keller, in her dark and dismal world. Just as Anne Sullivan was shown love and compassion, these are true stories, and there are lots of other true stories in our history and our own lives that help make a difference. And if you can think about the people in your life who have helped you make a difference or make a difference in your life, maybe it's a mate, a sibling, a relative, somebody from church, but certainly God has made a difference in your life. And He is the one we are going to speak of today. Today we're going to speak about making a difference, and we could almost insert some of Morgan's comments here, and we would be done with our lesson for today, because we each can make a difference in each other's life, and we don't realize that following Christ and watching Christ moments, his attitude, his actions can help us be like him, and we can be like him and make a difference in the world around us. 1 Peter chapter 2 is where we're looking at today, and we're actually looking at the disciples' call, how we make a difference. And the purpose of our, let's just take a look at that again and maybe keep your thumb there. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 21. It says, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. And when they hurled out insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly." So the purpose of God's calling in our life is that we would follow in his footsteps. He has gone before us. It's always better on a trail when there's a leader, when there's somebody in front of you. If you're the first one down the path, it could be a little frightening. And sometimes we make the wrong decisions. Lots of times we make the wrong decisions if you're on a trail and this looks like a nice way, but the real way was this way. And you make a choice and you have to sometimes double back. But in our situation, Christ has gone before us. And today, you and I must be the hands, the feet, and the attitude of Jesus in the world around us. We have to show Jesus, and so we must act like him. Christ's life was an example for us. If you want to know what God desires of you, look at Christ. He was compassionate. He was loving. He was a servant. He was involved. He was interruptible. He was able to make a decision and make an impression on those around him. And the closer that you are to God, the closer you are to Jesus, the easier it is to follow him. And how do you do that? How do you get closer? And I remember in the teen class for years and years and eternity, the answers to that question are scripture, fellowship, and prayer. Those are the ways we get closer to God, by fellowshipping with the people around us, the people who are like him, our small groups, our classes, our opportunities that we have here to be together, the study we do on our own and here as well, to learn from God's will and prayer, spending time lifting up our cares and needs and desires to be like him, to him, and letting him guide and follow us. One of the things that I alluded to a minute ago is that following Jesus can be a little easier because we can follow his footprints, because he led the way in front of us. He made the way. And he doesn't ask that we blaze the trail, just that we follow. That's kind of comforting, isn't it? To realize that we're not recreating the wheel, but we are following his lead. And we are comforted to the image of his dear son, or we need to conform to the image of his son, because the Spirit helps us. As we talked about in class today, the Holy Spirit helps knock off the rough edges that we have and make us more like Jesus. The path that Christ led was something that we have not the privilege to do. Christ had no sin. He did no sin. He hated sin. He abhorred sin. But we have come to become too tolerant in our world today of sin. We say it is what it is. We call it different names. We call it nicer names. And we allow sin to be around us and in our lives. It is very, very, very true that we should hate sin. But those who sin, we need to love. We need to love the sinner, but hate the sin. It's a hard concept to try to figure out. You've heard it before. But it's hard. It's hard to pull them apart. But if we look in our lives, we realize that we have sin as well, and that we need to remove that sin from our lives, confess it, and walk away from it. But again, our society has become very tolerant of it. We try to be very accepting and very tolerant of things that we should not. The only thing we need to be tolerant of are the people that we love and the people who are trying to find themselves out of that sin. Yes, we love Christians, and yes, we need to love the sinners, of which we all are in that club as well together. The second part of that verse that we were looking at was that no guile was found in his mouth. And guile means deceit or treachery. It's another place where we kind of struggle in our world, deceit, with our employers, with the things that we share and say to each other, treachery, things that we would like to do to people who simply pull out in front of us in traffic, or maybe worse. We have that in our hearts, and we have that in our lives. And that's something that we need to clear our minds and hearts of things that are deceitful and treacherous. It says, when Jesus was reviled, he reviled not again. How satisfying is it in my life to get the last word? I see several smiles. We like to get the last word, don't we? We like to get the last word, or a sharp answer to an insult. But that's not Christ-like. That is not what Christ calls us to be or to imitate. He calls us to hear that, to take that, and to be forgiving and loving toward that person who threw it before us. Easy to do? Easy to do? Easy to do? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Caleb was the only one I could hear. Oh, because he's got a microphone. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. And when he suffered, he threatened not. How many times when we suffer at the hands of an employer, a spouse, a sibling, whoever, do we vow to get back to them, back at them? I'll get even. If we don't say it, now Randy's like, yeah, yeah. How we vow in our hearts or we vow in our minds to do that if we don't literally say it. That was not Jesus at all. That was not Jesus at all. And so we can learn so much from just these few verses about what the path that Christ led before us. And the reason that he was able to do so well is because he committed himself to God. He committed himself to God. He listened to God. He talked to God. He prayed. He knew what God's purpose was for him in his life. And you and I need to constantly seek and constantly search for what God's purpose is in our life and then follow it the best we can. And the last part of those verses, it talks about the nature of Christ. The nature of Christ is to love. It's to love. It's to love God first and our fellow man second, including our enemies. Including our enemies. We struggle. We struggle with loving the people who love us sometimes, let alone loving our enemies. To reach out and to forgive them before they ask, or even if they never ask. To be loving, to serve, and to care for those who hate you. It's a work. It's a struggle. It was nice. It was fun to watch Jesus do that. He served those who hated him. He loved those. And he made them think. How can you and I do that instead of yell back or have hatred in our heart to those who are against us? We need to love even our enemies. We need to have joy. Jesus had joy. He had peace, long-suffering. He was gentle. He was good. He was faithful. He was meek. And he was temperate. Those are all things that were part of Jesus' nature and part of who we need to be. Those characteristics are appreciated in our society, but those are not always the people that are up on top and that we look to as our leaders, sadly. When you find somebody that you look up to, I hope that it's Christ. I hope they are Christ-like. There was a statue, and I probably should have looked it up ahead of time, because I forget where it is. But during the war, the hands and the feet of the statue of Jesus were torn off. And a missionary, they were sad about it, and they were, you know, very disappointed and frustrated with what had happened. And the missionary said to the people, but now you and I are the hands and feet of Jesus. And that picture has never left my mind, that we are the hands and the feet of Jesus. We are to be joyful. We are to be peacemakers. We are to be patient. We are to be gentle. We are to be good. We are to be faithful, meek, and temperate. Those are all things that we need to look at in our lives because they are Jesus and we need to be like him. The next slide, if you look at your card, and unlike Morgan, this slide says today, I will make a difference. Morgan give you a longer time period. Hopefully we will do it over lots and lots of time. But there's two things on the next step card. Is one is to read 1 Peter 2:21-23. And the second one, instead of memorizing it, is to live it. To live it. And then the make a difference challenge that I would like for you to think about today is to think about what you can do to make a difference in the people's lives around you. Whether it be in your house, your neighborhood, your school, your work, wherever you are, how you can make a difference. How your life can show somebody else Jesus. There was a couple other quotes that Helen Keller had that I felt were just awesome. One was, I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. She's going to hate this. But I read that, I thought of Phyllis Ream, who is up in age, older than me, but worries that she can't do enough, that she doesn't do enough. And she serves at Tuesday school, she serves at meals, she makes food, she helps open her home to Bible studies. She's doing what she can do. And she masters at that last sentence. And I'm singling her out because these are conversations that she's had in public. But she masters at that last sentence. I will not refuse to do something that I can do. If I can do it, I'm going to do it. Nothing is going to stop me. I loved that quote. And the other one is, when we do the best that we can, we never know what miracle is wrought in our life or in the life of another. We are constantly reminded as we make a difference in people's lives that sometimes we don't have a clue that we even did it. We don't know what a kind word, a kind deed, a kind action, a loving sacrifice on your or my part. We never know what difference that might make in somebody's life. But sometimes we do get to know. Sometimes we are blessed by seeing reactions and blessings from our actions. But sometimes we don't know how somebody else has been blessed. My encouragement to you today, as we round up this lesson, is that you think about how you can make a difference. You could be 93 years old and hardly able to walk like Yvonne Campbell. But the blessing that she is to those people at Willowbrook and the legacy she has left at this church and her family are incredible. Or you could be a very young person. And I'm going to call out Caleb Cook, who has the sweetest heart. When Todd calls us to introduce ourselves and talk to people, he works his way down the aisle. He's always looking for Mr. Dan Arnold because I think he was his teacher. But he's always shaking hands and smiling as he goes on his way. We all can make a difference. And we all need to make a difference because Christ has made a difference in my life and he's made a difference in your life. If you've not started and given your life to Christ, you have no reason to follow what is stated there in 2 Peter, to live a life of Jesus. And I would encourage you to start that life and to get working on that. But if you are a Christian, as most of us are, I'd encourage you to find ways to reach out to the people in your network. You don't have to go clear to Obetz. Just go around Westerville. You don't have to go to Mansfield or wherever. If you do, great opportunity. Look out your front door, your back door. Look at the people who are sitting at desks around you. Look at the people in your supermarket, wherever you are. How can you make a difference in their life that they will see Jesus. The world needs Jesus. We've seen that this week in the two big celebrity suicides that I saw. I didn't see any mention of Jesus. And I don't know that that's not true in their lives, but I never heard a mention. I want us to know Jesus. I do know for a fact that our neighbor was celebrated because she knew Jesus. They said she was very loving, she was very active, and a person that was about Jesus. And that's something I know her family holds on to. What about you? Are you making a difference for Jesus? Do people look at you and praise God because of your actions in your life? I hope so. If not, make that your goal. Make that your life's aim as you live, to be like Jesus. Let's pray. God, we are grateful today for this opportunity to share here, to love you and to realize that we have a purpose in your life. Help us all to reach out to the lonely, the unloved. Help us to reach out to the talented and the blessed. Help us to reach out to the weak and the strong. Help us to show you wherever we go. We love you as your children. And there are some here who may not be your children. If that would be their desire today to start that walk, to make that difference, help them to decide to do it now. God, we love you. Thank you for hearing our prayer, and thank you for being with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.